Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 94 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audio2u.com. With me on the line once again. I should change that intro, you know. I should say, this is Bruce Williams from shuttersincpodcast.com.
Well, either way would be true.
I suppose.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it is audio2u.com, and Shutters Inc. is, you know, just part of the empire that you've built there.
Is that what it is? Empire building.
An empire, yeah. You're an evil empire. You're the, you know, an evil, what is it?
Evil genius?
Evil genius in charge of a world-dominating empire or something. Yes, with your little finger in your mouth.
Whatever.
$1 million.
How was your weekend away?
Mate, it was filled with very little, and it was the best thing I could have done.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we did. You know, the weather down there wasn't really great for the time I was away. We had patches of sun, and
Victoria,
then it's
Victoria. What do you
over.
Expect?
Hey, enough of that. Enough of that. And but it was good because it meant that I could just, you know, do very, very little. You know, play a bit of guitar. You know, clean my camera gear, read some photography magazines. You know, actually converse with my wife, you know, and she could get some sense out of me, right, for a change. Yeah, that sort of stuff. It was good. Yeah, it was nice to get away, and it was good to get my brain back and get my eyes back.
Yeah.
You know, which you need to do every now and again. Just, you know, stop doing what you have to do and do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And that even applies creatively. So it was, it was terrific.
Cool.
And anything, and in your world, has there been any interesting photography while I've been away, Bruce?
There hasn't.
No.
There hasn't been anything. No one has submitted a landscape yet.
No.
I'm a bit worried about this.
Yeah, maybe we should have, you know, chosen something more fun, like, you know, swimsuit models or something. You know, we would have said, well, you know, then every husband listening to Shutters Inc. would have had, look, dear, this is a great competition.
Yes.
You know, we would have had an excuse. That'll be our
it's
next.
It's my assignment. I have to do it.
I have to do it. Really, I have to do it. But, of course, we know who the winner would be, don't you? A certain Shutters Inc. Flickr site person,
whose
images you, whose Flickr site you're always
Baxley.
Going to. Miss
Bloody
Guinness.
Baxley!
Hello, Mr. Baxley, if you're listening.
We love your work, Michael.
Love your work, Michael. Yeah, so, I mean, I think automatic winner, so maybe that might not be, you know, the best thing to do. But yes, we are still looking for your land. Now, you might be, of course, you know, planning your landscape entries, but we are still looking for them. But while now I came back from, you know, just a few days away, and look, we missed 1 week of Shutters Inc. And what happens to the Flickr site? Nothing.
It's all gone quiet.
Very, very, very quiet. Yes. Surely.
Quiet.
Well, it tells us one thing. Be very, very quiet. It tells us one thing. It tells us that people miss our inspirational input. Bruce, and when we're away for a week, people are cameras down.
Right.
You know, and it's not right. It's not right. But I appreciate that we do inspire people week by week, you know, here on our little podcast. But, you know, you got to keep those cameras rolling, folks. You really do. But yeah, I came back to a very uneventful Flickr site. Now, we must change that, people.
Mm.
You know, Richard Annable has gone to a lot of effort to put this together. And, you know, well, we should keep it happening. And there's so many listeners across the world. Set yourself up a Flickr site. You know, I've set myself up one just so that I could be part of the Shutters Inc. group.
Yeah,
and
same.
It's been really, really good. Yeah,
same. I was never on Flickr until Richard started the Shutters Inc. group.
And good on you, Richard. And Richard, I'm so sorry. You want to do this inaugural Melbourne meetup, mate?
Yeah.
I'm really trying, but my October is rubbish. My November is rubbish. Looks like December's looking good, you know?
Okay.
And I know that's getting close to that. What's that crazy date that everybody seems to think the world ends on?
Yeah.
That everybody wants everything done by? The date that the Romans used to celebrate the rebirth of the sun, you know, something.
I don't know.
Something.
I just know it costs me a lot of money every year.
Yes, keeps the world alive at that, you know, economically sound at that time of year. Anyway, I'd love to do it. But as I've said on your inaugural, here I go again. inaugural Melbourne meetup discussion on Flickr. I am speaking at the Australian Photographic Society convention in Albury. So if you're an Australian listener and you want to get together with birds of a feather, October the 20th and the 21st is when I will be in Albury for the annual Australian Photographic Society convention, or APSCon. If you want to Google it, just type APSCON into Google and it will take you to the site and you can see what the program is. But the Australian Photographic Society is a society of amateur photographers. They have a regular section in Australian Photography magazine. And every year, of course, they get together and they, they do the birds of a feather thing. And I've spoken at a few of them now. First one was about 10 years ago, actually, in Hobart, in Tasmania, where I met and had the opportunity to photograph with the great Galen Rowell. And what a nice guy he was. And and of course, he was sadly killed a few years ago. But it was a great time. And just being... This is what I find, you know, just hanging around fellow photographers is so inspiring because even though you may not actually be taking pictures, you're there with other photographers and you're talking about photography, and it gets you re-enthused. You know, people have said that about my Rockhampton photo workshops, and that basically, they learned, but it was just great. They talk about the networking that they did. People met at those workshops, exchanged addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, all MySpace addresses, whatever they had. And now there are people in Rockhampton who are working together. There's two photographers who've now gotten together to, you know, work on helping each other's businesses out. And they're actually helping each other become better photographers so that each of their separate businesses, you know, will grow.
Excellent.
It is great, you know, as a result of just, you know, doing the workshop together in Rockhampton. Mm. So even though perhaps, you know, in my case, I'm going there as a speaker, you know, someone that they'll be wanting to, you know, look up to, listen to, whatever it might be, I actually come away from, you know, things like that, inspired and upbuilt myself. So if there's something going on in your area... make sure you're a part of it, you know. Like I said, I've often said, a local club or convention. And if there isn't, make it happen. You know, it's not impossible to make it happen. So, give that some thought, because it really does make a heck of a lot of difference. But, you know, because we do find times when we lose our eyes and we lose our heart, and, you know, picking up the camera just isn't as much fun as it used to be. And that's usually simply because life gets the better of us, you know, and we have to do what we have to do to live. And sometimes the camera gets stuck in a rut. And even your camera can be the last thing you feel like you want to pick up sometimes. And that's sad. That really is very, very sad, as we've often spoken about here. So if you are in New South Wales or Victoria or anywhere in Australia, or, hey, anywhere in the world, and you've got a lot of money and you want to fly to Victoria, you're more than welcome to come to the APSCon event. I'll be speaking there, but there'll be so many others who will also be speaking. David McGonigal, who's a travel photographer, will be speaking, and I'm looking forward to hearing him. And, of course, just like I say, getting together with birds of a feather. And there's some crazy birds there, let me tell you. So, you know, it should be good. Graham, I'm looking forward to catching up with you and Margaret there. That'll be really terrific. But, Richard, you said you can't make it. You got to change that, buddy. You got to change that, because I want to catch up with you there. And maybe that'll get me out of being in the bad books with you about this inaugural, there I go again, inaugural Melbourne meetup. It's the B in Melbourne that's throwing me out. Okay. Inaugural Melbourne meetup. But look, one thing I learned, and I don't know whether you want to, whether you've got anything to say before we embark upon our crusade here, Bruce. But the one thing I learned while being away is one thing that I want to talk about, and that is getting your eyes back. Okay. But in so doing, you know, when I went to, it's a place called Ocean Grove, here in Victoria, in Australia, and it's just down the Bellarine Peninsula. It's a tiny little town. It's on the coast. It's nothing particularly special. It's the road. If you're familiar with the Australian coastline and geography, if you continued on that road, you would find yourself within a few hours' drive at the 12 Apostles, which are now, I don't know, 7 or 8 Apostles or whatever.
Right, but, so we're talking the Geelong side of the bay, right?
Yes, yep. Exactly. Yes, that's right. You go through Geelong, you turn left, and you head for the ocean.
Cool.
And that's basically where we went. And I literally went there to do very, very little. But the one thing that I wanted to do was get my eyes back. You know, being a professional photographer, you're asked to do a lot of things. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was photographing wheelchairs on a white background. You know, please. It's work, feeds my family, but, you know, the only thing that I really needed to concern myself with was correct lighting, but that's par for the course and off you go. It's not exciting. The client needs it, you do it for the client, but, you know, it's work. And
yeah.
This kind of thing comes up all the time for professional photographers. I love a good portrait shoot or a wedding shoot or, you know, something, maybe a steel mill or whatever I can get my teeth into. But I do a fair bit of boring stuff as well. So you need to get your eyes back. And part of that is what I want to talk about, because sometimes as photographers, we're always looking for the dynamic to photograph, something action-packed, something that in itself is interesting. And that's just not going to happen all the time. If that's what you're looking for, or if that's what you believe you need in order to create an image. But you can get surprising images from ordinary situations, from ordinary places, from ordinary everyday activities, everyday things. And that's what I found, once again, just by carrying my camera around with me while I was, you know, away for a few days. I kept my Ricoh GR on my hip most of the time. So that no matter where I was, even if I didn't have my DSLR on me, I had a camera, and it kept my eyes open. But I made sure to carry as much as I could my D200, and I've recently acquired, as I may have said, the Tamron 18-250, which is a surprisingly good lens for a lens that goes, you know, from that kind of focal length, you know, wide to the other end, is surprisingly good. And I walked around with that, and it was just terrific. You know, there were children playing on the beach whose parents I asked if I could photograph them, of course. And, you know, dogs running in the surf. Something as simple as a bit of seaweed in the foreground caught my attention. And I would stand there and I'd create a wide angle with the seaweed in the foreground or a rock in the foreground. And, in fact, if you go to the Flickr site now, I've uploaded a picture of a rock on the shore.
Okay.
With, you know, some radiating lines, and it's on my Flickr site, and I'll throw it on Shutters Inc. as well. But you can find, if you want to, ordinary things or surprisingly interesting things in ordinary situations. If you're looking for action-packed and dynamic things, they don't always present themselves. But the photographer's gift is that he can see something ordinary, and I think this is where people marvel at real, you know, at true photography. That they can see something ordinary and yet create something interesting from it. And to me, that is photography.
Yeah.
You know, it really is the art or what visual arts are all about. You know, photographing a beautiful face is fine. Photographing a beautiful flower is fine. But how you do it makes you the photographer. And, you know, that's really, I think, what we're trying to teach here. Is the interpretation of things, not necessarily just the capturing of them.
It's interesting you mention that, because I'm having, you know, now joined up with Flickr because of Richard having started the Shutters Inc. group.
Good on you, Richard.
I've started looking around at some of the other stuff on Flickr as well. And I've seen, you know, some people who are, you know, not Shutters Inc. listeners, but who have just, you know, put up heaps of photos and things. And there was one guy, and I'll have to see if I can... Yeah, find the link to this guy's collection again. And I remember looking at this stuff and going, this stuff is just awesome. But
yeah.
A lot of it was post-processing, but it made me wonder, how do you look at an image and say, I can see what's in front of me now, but I can imagine what I can do with it in post?
Yes.
You know, is that experience with the camera, is it experience in Photoshop, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both, and it's a really good question, because in effect, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When we talk about interpretation, we are looking at something with our eyes, But in the back of your head, you have to see it for what you will make it, you know, what you will turn it into, and that's the interpretation of it. For instance, this particular couple of pictures that I've uploaded recently, I just haven't had a lot of time since I've been back to sort of, you know, get images up onto my Flickr site. But I think I've loaded three onto my site,
right?
And one of them is, like I say, it's just a rock on the beach. And I just made it some foreground interest. I love the radiating lines of sand, you know, the pattern that had formed from the waves coming over this rock and pulling the sand away made this sort of oval, look at these lines that radiate from the rock, and then, of course, off into the cloudy background and the shore and the waves crashing and all that kind of thing. It's no masterpiece, but it's something that was there presented as what most people would walk by.
Right.
And I didn't want to walk by it because I was in a place in my head whereby I needed to get back into the zone. Yeah. So I was already in a place where I was saying, I'm going to look at ordinary things and I'm going to interpret them and I'm going to pre-visualize them, which is a term we've used a lot, into something that, first of all, I will create in the camera, so that in the camera, even on its own, it's interesting because it has composition, shape, form, texture, you know, all those things that make a great photo. But then, of course, like you say, there is now the ability everyone has, the access to it everyone has who has a computer, of taking that image and making it what you saw way back there in the back of your head. And that's what you're saying, you know, Bruce. It's the combination of both those things now that can really, really work. A lot of the images that I'm just looking, actually, as we speak, on the Shutters Inc. site.
Yep.
And there's an interesting balance of pictures that are pretty well straight out of the camera, and then others that have been, you know, seriously photoshopped.
Right.
You know, Holly Sisson does some beautiful overhead perspectives of children.
Yeah.
And I love your work, Holly. As I mentioned on one of your photographs, I love the fact that you had this signature overhead perspective of children, which I've basically said don't do, but the way you do it is just great. Because you actually say, no, I'm doing this deliberately. This is no accident. And I really love that about your work. But, you know, you do simple things like, you know, boost the contrast. You create a vignette to highlight the subject, things like that. And then, of course, there are other things that, you know, a heap of other tools that you can use to create the image, not as it necessarily just was presented to you, but as you saw it in your head and, you know, pre-visualized it. So that's why you can take ordinary things and make them into, you know, something interesting. We took, as a family, we took an hour's cruise on a little ship that leaves out of Geelong called the Enterprise, and it's a schooner. It's sort of like a what do you call it? My head today. When you recreate something, a replica,
right.
Thank you, of an 18th or 19th century boat and or vessel, a schooner. And, you know, they put the sails up and out you go out of Geelong and that. And it was lovely. But if you were on that cruise thinking, I'm going to take some great photographs, if you were looking for the dynamic, oh, I'm going to be on this ship, I'm going to take some great pictures, you would be disappointed, because in order to get great pictures of the ship, you'd have to be on shore, you know, to photograph it as it came in or left or was out on the water. But if you're actually on the boat, you've got to look for textures, shapes, lines, form, you know, the way the light, you know, comes through the sails, all those sorts of things. If you're looking for the big, you're not going to see it if you're on the boat. And this is what, you know, we learned, the three of us, my wife, my son, and I. We all had, you know, we walked on as the photography family. Everyone was looking at us because each of us had, you know, this DSLR with a lens hanging off us. Who are these people? What's going on here? But, you know, my my wife, my son, and I, we took photographs of the ropes and the knots and the patterns of the ropes, the compass, you know, and the sails, the lights. And we got some great images.
It's the detail.
All in the detail. The following night, my wife and son actually took the trip from Geelong to Melbourne, or to Williamstown in Melbourne. It was a six-hour cruise back, you know, on this boat. And, you know, they had a great time. And again, they did much the same thing. I had to drive the car back home, but they went on the boat. And it was really terrific, because they learned, you know, that it's not in the big. Often the beauty is in the details. And it's patterns, rhythms, impactful points of color, shapes, texture. You know, it's not about the landscape or the cityscape or the seascape. Often it's what's in it, what's behind it, you know, what makes it, what, you know, the parts of it. And every scene we see is, you know, is greater than the sum of its parts in many ways, because if we can photograph the scene, but then there's so much within that scene, that situation, that context, that environment, that we can then say, okay, what makes this great? What are the aspects of it, the parts of it, that actually make the big thing interesting? And in that situation, you find that your eyes really open and you become aware of the complexities, the details, and you have so much more in your everyday life to capture if that's the way you look at the world and you're prepared to interpret those things from the ordinary into something a little more interesting. And every human being who has sight and vision can do that to varying degrees, and that's the great thing, because we all have different sight, different vision, but we can all do it. You know, there's absolutely no reason we can't. And I learned that once again. It's not that I'd forgotten it, it's just that I hadn't applied it. When I went away for a few days to get my brain back, I got my eyes back as well, you know, and it was really, really lovely, you know. I really enjoyed it. And I learned that, yes, the beauty is in the details. And that's, if we're talking about our landscape competition, then, you know, remember that you don't, as we've said, you don't need to be in a landscape, you know, a dynamic landscape to make it great. And have a look at this picture. It's no work of art that I'm going to post on Shutters Inc. It's just of the Ocean Grove, a little rock in the foreground, and, you know, another one of Geelong's waterfront that I'm going to post. That's just a matter of, all it is shapes. That's all it is. But it grabbed my eye, and I took the picture. So, do this, because the reason behind, you know, our constant pursuit of turning the ordinary into surprisingly good or extraordinary is that when we actually do then get into a situation that is beyond the ordinary, some amazing landscape, some beautiful face, an incredible situation of some kind, because we have become adept at taking the ordinary, the common, the ubiquitous, and making it something extraordinary, we're then not fumbling to work the really good stuff. We know exactly what to do. You know, it's I suppose it's like you know, any musician who's used to you know, playing you know, making something beautiful out of just five notes can then you know, can then just, you know, can play a symphony that's already beautiful. You know, if you put feeling and interpretation into those five notes, well, then imagine what you'll be able to do when you have a complete piece. And it's the same with photography. If we have become adept at seeing and making, as I've said, surprisingly dynamic images from ordinary things, then we will never fail to, you know, do that when it comes to the big stuff, and really, really know how to work it so that our opportunities aren't wasted. I think that's the gift of it. Apart from being able to create great images from ordinary things, which is an achievement in itself, and people will marvel, and you'll feel a great sense of achievement, it also teaches you how to handle the really big stuff, the really interesting stuff, that wedding you've got to shoot, that travel that you're going to take. You know, you're off to Yosemite. You could point the camera, you know, down the valley there, that beautiful valley. What's that valley called that people just walk straight into there in Yosemite?
I'm not sure what they call the valley. I think it's just called Yosemite Valley.
It could be, yeah. You could look. I'm sure there are a million tourists who just stand there, point the cameras, and take the same picture. But if you're used to looking for the details, you'll say, okay, there's some really cool stuff in the foreground here, and I'm going to make this really work. And your image will be so much better than, you know, you're in exactly the same place, exactly the same time. But because you've been used to making extraordinary from the ordinary, you'll really work that. And that in is the gift. Therein is the gift, I think.
I certainly hope I live up to the expectation.
You're flaming better after this talk up, mate, that's for sure. You know, that's all I can say. You'd better come back from there with some. I mean, you're going to be there at 5 in the morning. I mean, you know, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, so, and if I'm lucky, I'll also get some at sunset the evening before.
Oh, great. Yeah. It would actually be an interesting study in light. You should try and mark out your tripod, you know, to find three points to put your tripod in, and then and then turn up exactly the same place the next day and just see and take
two
photos.
You're saying. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And see how the light is at sunset and from exactly the same point the following day.
Well, I tell you what, I love Google Maps.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Google Maps because I've been able to look at the layout of the valley and see which way is north. And from that, I can say, well, okay, well, the sun should be rising from this angle and the sun should be setting from that angle. So I'm already picturing things in my mind, even though I haven't got there yet. So
I think it shines on El Capitan one part of the day and half dome the other or something.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, our Yosemite contingent will be, emailing us and saying, "Fools, don't talk about things you've never seen." But a couple of California listeners.
I'll tell you what, something totally unrelated. But I got a phone call last night from a mate of mine who I haven't spoken to in ages, and he has gone into a couple of years ago. He went and got his real estate valuer's license.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gone into business selling commercial real estate here in Sydney.
Right.
And haven't spoken to him in ages. He rang me a couple of weeks ago, I suppose, just for a real quick chat to let me know that his wife had their second child.
Mm-hmm.
And but he rang me yesterday and he said, "I wondered if you'd be interested in doing some photography for me." And cool. I went, "Okay, yeah, what sort of thing?" I said, "Like real estate photography." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I've got a client who's building a couple of properties on Ocean Street, and he said we want some lifestyle shots around the eastern suburbs, so that'll be an interesting project for me."
Said yes then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Terrific. Good.
I said, "Yeah, man." I said, "I'd love to do it." So
yeah. Wow. So how come you're getting photography gigs out of this and I'm not?
Mate, I don't know.
That's all I want to know. The host of the show gets photography gigs and the photographer on the show doesn't. Okay. That's just not on. I'm going to have to do something about that. All right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Well, good on you, mate. And look, when are you starting?
Next week.
Yeah. Terrific. What, so you've got to get some models and restaurants and shopping and that kind of thing? Or?
Well, I don't know if we're going to use models. I sort of had a bit of a chat with him and he just said, down around the jetty and, the shopping precincts and that sort of thing. I mean, what it's like when you drive past a sort of a reasonably sized real estate development, they'll have those big posters, and a handful of sort of lifestyle shots.
Yep.
To try and sell people on the lifestyle aspect more than just the, buy this unit type of thing. So that's what he's after. So I don't know, maybe I probably should organize a model, I suppose, and then I could at least
speak to him about it.
Yeah.
I mean, lifestyle is about, often if you look at lifestyle images, they have very little to do with the surroundings.
Right.
They're actually about, people enjoying themselves.
Right.
It's a concept, that whole lifestyle concept. So when your client is talking to you about lifestyle, he's got, and this is where a photographer who is successful in the industry helps his client. And, I'm glad you raised this because he's come to talk to you about something he can't see because he's not a photographer, right? Which is why he's hired you.
Yep.
He can't see. He has a need, a concept, an end result.
Yep.
But he lacks the visual ability to see what actually needs to be done. Right. The photographer says, "Okay, then what we're going to do, we're going to need this kind of environment. We should get a couple of models in, their late 20s, early 30s, or something like that. We should do this, 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 and this." And then they go, "Oh, yeah, of course." And they don't know. They can't see. They haven't got the image, like I've said, floating about in the back of their head. That's where you come in as the photographer, and you see the images, and you start to say, from the logistical standpoint, "Well, we need to get this organized. Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
and we
right.
really should have them dressed like this. And maybe we should get some props that look like this, because if it's lifestyle, and let's make sure that the models, maybe it's a good idea that they know each other, because then they can interact more freely and look like they are." All those sorts of things the photographer brings to his client, not just, his camera and his compositional ability, but the ability to see before the job's even done what needs to be arranged. I've often done that for my clients. I go, "Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. Thank you." And it really puts you in good stead with your client. And if you're listening and you're doing that kind of work, take that on board, that your client will want, even though he doesn't know it, he will want that from you, and when you provide it, those ideas, those visual concepts, that logistical assistance, he'll just think you're the best thing in the whole world. And that goes the same with a wedding client. You know, when you meet with them, you basically have to say, well, if this is what you want, we really should consider, you know, maybe we need a little more time in the late afternoon, or remember this kind of problem will arise, that kind of problem might arise. They love you for it if you do more than just turn up with a camera. So, Bruce, if you really want to impress this client or any client that you get, yep, you know, bring that to the table.
Yeah,
see the
sure.
images in your head. Make a list of what you think they're going to need and yep. present it to them. Maybe they won't have the budget for it, but they'll be happy that you at least threw in some ideas and worked through it as a, you know, from your visual genius sort of standpoint. That's why you're being hired. You know?
Yeah. Well, so, man, I'm glad I brought it up.
Because it's a very, very good point. And it really has a lot to do with even what we've been talking about today, that you see it back in your head. You've got yep. the image there.
Yep.
And your talent is to be able to bring that forward and actually make it happen. That's your talent. And that's why you're being hired. Everybody can, you know, see what's in front of them, but the photographer sees more. He sees what's behind it. He sees what he can do with it, what he can interpret from it. And that's what you'll do if you do this lifestyle shoot. And you'll produce images that he couldn't see, but he'll yeah. love and pay you very highly for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, cool. that's a good thing to bring to the table. Just before we go,
yep.
one of the questions on Flickr is sort of related to that. And I said that I would mention it because it was an interesting question. A lot of our listeners do want to get into photography and make a little bit of money from it. In fact, up in my Rockhampton workshops, I got an email from a young fella named David Harbutt, who came on all of the workshops up there. And he was a great help to me, actually, helped setting up a projector and all that kind of thing. He's a really lovely bloke. And he emailed me the other day and he says, I've now decided to fulfill my dream and become a photographer and start a photography business. I emailed him back and I said, oh, well, that's great to hear. I'm glad. I feel like I was a small part of that. And he says, well, actually, it was you who, you know, gave me the, you know, the final push that I needed and the inspiration I needed to do it. And I felt really, really honored, you know. But yeah. so many people just want to get a little bit of work, and it's a validation of their work when someone else yeah. says, I want you to photograph. It's not always about the money. It's about validation of your art and your creativity. So we have on the Shutters Inc. you know, discussion, the managing a portfolio question. And I'll read the question from around Omaha, please.
That's David Elfring.
I know it's David. David, just give us your name. I love that picture of you, David, too. This is probably a silly open-ended question. I'll just read it straight off the Flickr site
okay.
with no right answer, but I'll ask anyhow. I'd be curious for views and tips on managing a photo portfolio. I've never really managed to pull together something that showcases what I think is my best work, so I'd be curious for tips from Shelton and others who've seen positive results from weeding and feeding a select group of photos to represent their work. Richard, of course, I answered by basically saying, dunno. That's a tough one. Richard says, to me, it would depend on what the portfolio is being used for. If you're wanting to take portraits or weddings, then you'd need to gather the best portrait wedding shots, etc. And that's true. David responds by saying he really, you know, doesn't know in terms of his photographic development what he wants to present. And I think that really Richard got it right there, David, in that you have to understand who the portfolio is going to go to and who's going to be interested in it, what you can shoot and what, you know, you will want to shoot. Your photographic prowess in a certain arena might be, you know, second to none. But if it doesn't relate to the client, then he's going to say, hey, great photos, but you know what I really need is a photograph of this new chrome tap that we're planning installing in, you know, government bathrooms. Mm. You know, your photographs of landscapes may be beautiful, but they're not going to convince the client. It's a difficult question. But these days, you know, photographers are using all sorts of things for portfolios. I don't actually have a wedding portfolio in print. When a client asks me what you know to send them, you know, a photograph, well, first of all, I'll direct them to my website, but yeah. then I'll also package up a DVD slideshow that runs like a slideshow with music and fade-ins and fade-outs and Ken Burns zooming and panning effects, and I send that off to them. And I once that's sent, I have a damn good chance of getting that job.
Yeah.
I don't believe in prints, you know, necessarily for selling the work. If you want to, put together a slideshow of the kind of work that you want to get, David, and you can just send, it only costs a few cents to burn a disc, use ProShow Gold or one of those products to make your slideshow, send it off to various people who you want to impress, whether it be portrait, wedding, or, you know, corporate work or whatever, and let it speak for itself. Let them play it on their computers in their own time. That might be something you could do. And also it means that you don't have to phone them up and say, look, can I take time away from your job so that I can come and meet with you and show you my work? You send them a DVD that's nicely printed and, you know, looks good, that they can play in their own time, that at the end, you know, says, hey, here I am, this is my phone number, this is my website, these are my contact details. You may actually do very well from it. And the great thing about that is that you can alter it. You can keep that file on your computer, throw in a photo here, take out a picture there. It doesn't cost you anything. You just recreate the DVD and off you go. A website's a good idea also. But, you know, if you've actually sent something to someone on a disc, it's interesting to them. They go, oh, what's this? They'll put it in their computer and they'll play it. Now, that might be something you want to think of, David, and anyone who's listening who wants to get a little bit of work. That's just something I thought I'd round up today's Shutters Inc. with, a little gem that I've used that works really, really well.
Excellent. And so easy to do, too.
It's not hard. It really isn't hard at all. Yeah. You know, you just basically do a few minutes work on it each day, because it can take a few hours to start off. But you do a few minutes each day and, you know, burn it in the end and off you go. Make your master copy and then off you go. Burn some copies for clients. And if you've got a little printer, a little home printer that prints on discs, and of course some of them are now actually burning patterns on the discs,
right?
You've got a professional little product there you can send out.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks good. Looks
beautiful.
Good.
All right, mate. Well, thank you for that.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And I'll let you know how the lifestyle stuff goes next week.
Yes, please. And let's everybody remember we do have a landscape competition on. All right?
Absolutely.
So send those landscape images in.
Yep, to studio@audiotu.com.
Yep, that's the one.
And if you want to write to him, it's shelton@audiotu.com.
That's me.
Too easy. All right, mate. We'll talk with you next week.
You bet. I'm looking forward to it.
See ya.
See you soon.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.